to see all of you. Now we're being recorded. So I think we're going to wait a few minutes until all of our members of the General Assembly join us. And Tom and Jennifer, let us know when you see enough of us on to go ahead and call the meeting to order.
Well, Jan and I are here, as she pointed out. That's all that we need.
The important members are here.
It's not the members, it's member. It's just Dana.
Hey, I'm going to introduce him later, but while we're waiting for Kathleen to come back on, in the middle of my screen is Rob Bernheimer. If you're an old timer here, you know Rob. He was on our council for 8 years. He was mayor, and he has been selected to replace Kimberly for 6 months until the voters can fill the seat in November. If you're not an old timer, you probably don't know Rob, but he's here and he's a great guy. And I'll introduce him when we get to Indian Wells, but I just thought I'd let everyone know who that strange face is with the sign Indian Wells behind him.
I see some familiar faces.
It is so nice to see you, Rob.
Thank you, Mayor.
I think you have learned the first time around, but welcome back.
Rob, welcome back. Rancho Mirage here.
Thank you, Richard. I did learn the first time around. I limited my stint this time.
Good to have you back. Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor.
Tom and Jennifer, are we ready to call the meeting to order?
Let's give it 1 second. I see a couple of attendees. We could bring in 4th District, County of Riverside, into the panel. And I don't know if we've got a City of Indio. I don't know if we've got an elected official waiting as an attendee. Let's give it a few seconds here.
Thank you. How do you see we're at? 84 participants with panelists and attendees.
All right, we'll keep an eye on the attendee list. And for those attendees that need to be a panelist, feel free to text me or email CVAG and we'll get you on, but we'll keep an eye out for it. Chair, I think you're ready to go.
Thank you so much. So we will go ahead and call to order this meeting. This is the General Assembly for Coachella Valley Association of Governments. It's great to have all of you here. Great to see you. So it's 6:04 and we will go ahead and call the meeting to order. Welcome to our big General Assembly. Appreciate everyone's work over this past year to make it a successful year for CVAG. We continue to do incredible work as a region together. So appreciate everyone's participation tonight and over the past year. I just have a request for housekeeping. Want to remind you to stay on after the business portion of the meeting. So we have a few presentations and we're going to have some fun as well. I know we have embarrassing baby photos and a few games for you. So we're looking forward to that. We just ask that everyone please keep yourselves on mute. As you know, you're experts on Zoom by this point. And participants are encouraged to choose the speaker view, which you can find in the right-hand corner so that you can see the speaker. And we are going to take some screenshots and show all the fun we're having in this Zoom meeting. So our first item on the agenda is our roll call. So I'm going to ask each executive committee member for each jurisdiction to introduce yourself and your fellow members and show who else is present. And so I'll go in order, which is our roll call order. So first, we have the City of Indio, Mayor Wayman Furman.
All right. Wayman Furman, 6'2", 260, Mayor of Indio.
I'd like to welcome everybody. I have my following team members that are present: Mayor Pro Tem Oscar Ortiz, Council Member Glenn Miller, and also on my team, I have Lupe Amit, Council Member, and Council Member Elaine Holmes, followed up by our City Manager, Brian Montgomery. I just want to share a couple of things about our city. The city of Indio is home to 95,000 constituents taking center stage. The city of Indio is ranked number 18 in the Smart Assets 2021 Guide to Boom Towns in America. We have 1.5 million visitors that visit us a year to join us in our festivals, our second Saturday concerts downtown, and also our Tamale Festival, Stagecoach, and Coachella Music and Arts Festival, and the return of the Riverside County National Day Festival. Thank you to our Board of Supervisor, Manuel Perez, for advocating for us. And also, the Indio Police Department has chosen one out of five law enforcement agencies in the nation as a model for President's Task Force on 21st Century Policing, resulting in a 10-year record low in crime. And Indio also has many developments in progress, including a 400-unit affordable housing complex, College of the Desert expansion, and a child development center, many innovative projects downtown, Indio Marketplace, BuzzBox, and also the longest stretch of the CV link in Indio. So to put it simple, the city of Indio is a place to be. We're taking center stage. You're all welcome, and I yield the rest of my time.
Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate the introduction. Thank you. It's an informal competition. Who can have the best introduction? And you win so far with your personal stats right at the beginning. Next, we have Chair Daryl Mike from 29 Palms Band of Mission Indians. Do we have someone from 29 Palms on the line who'd like to introduce the team? If not, we will come back to them at the end. So we will do Torres Martinez, Band of Cahuilla Indians.
Hello, hi, everyone.
Oh, there's Vice Chairman.
I'll start.
I know Trina. Trina already introduced herself. So I am Vice Chairman Jose Mireles from Torres Martinez. The other people I have on the line with me is Trina Santianez, our tribal secretary. I cannot one up Wayman. That was a good one. I'm 5'5 and 180, like 6'2 already blew me out of the water. So we're located on the eastern part of the Coachella Valley. Our land goes from Avenue 62 all the way down to Imperial County. I always use the joke that you can call me Ariel because we have at least a couple thousand of our acreage that's under the Salton Sea. We have all of our other land that spans in the region. We have a little travel center casino down near Borrego. Go ahead and stop on by next time you're down there. It is the Red Earth Casino. We got $5 margaritas, good times down there. We are working on some other economic development right now, expanding into getting some more C stores, putting up some more gas stations, possibly a second casino, just, you know, trudging along here. It's been a long time coming, so we just want to catch up with everyone else. So it's good to see everybody.
Thank you. Next, we have Cabazon Band of Cahuilla Indians.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Brenda Soulier. I am member at large for Cabazon Band of Cahuilla Indians, and I think I am the only one here tonight, so it's just me. Probably our main economic development, where we're located, our borders touch Indio on one end and Coachella on the other. We have great partnerships with Indio, Coachella, and Riverside County as well. And we are the proud owners of the fabulous Fantasy Springs Resort and Casino. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Council Member. Next, we have Agua Caliente Band of Cahuilla Indians.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Reed Milanovich, chairman of the Agua Caliente Band of Cahuilla Indians. With us today, we also have Secretary Treasurer Vincent Gonzalez III, Council Member Jessica Norte, and Council Member John Preckwinkle III. Also, we have John Plata, he's our general counsel, and then we have Zach Stone, he's our newly appointed government and legislative affairs coordinator. As many of you know, our reservation spans from Palm Springs all the way into Rancho Mirage. We were established in 1876. Before that, we go back a little over 8,000 years. So we know our way around here. And it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Next, we have the City of Indian Wells.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've already introduced Rob Bernheimer, who is on our council for 6 months. Also in attendance is a gentleman who is generally regarded as the finest city manager in all of Riverside County, not just the Coachella Valley, and that's Chris Freeland. I could go on and on about how wonderful Indian Wells is, but we like to be known as the city of understated elegance. So with that, I'm just going to move on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Next, we have City of Palm Desert, Councilmember Kathleen Kelly.
Hi, everyone. I'm pleased to be here with our Mayor, Jan Harnick, who is also serving all of us, as well as all of Southern California presently, as president of the Regional Council for SCAG. So we are pulling the oars for Palm Desert tonight. We take pride in Palm Desert that we are able to serve not only our own residents, but residents of all of your communities who love to come here for our recreational, cultural, and educational offerings. Great to be with you.
Great to see you. Next, we have the City of La Quinta. Mayor Linda Evans.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. I'm joined with most of my council this evening, Mayor Pro Tem Kathleen Fitzpatrick, Councilmember John Pena, Councilmember Robert Ratty, and our City Manager, John McMillan. Thank you.
Welcome. Next, we have the City of Blythe.
Good evening. Thank you. I'm here today with our mayor, Dale Reynolds, and also I believe Johnny Rodriguez might be on the line, which I'm not quite sure because I don't see everybody there. But also we have our council, Joy Halvey and Sam Burton, and very good people to work with. And also I have our excellent interim city manager. I call her our manager, and I'm very glad, think she's the best. So what she has to deal with here in Blythe and do her thing. But thank you, everybody. But we have Blythe here. We have always challenges. But we go from San Bernardino County to Imperial County, and we have the best river in the valley. So in the world, I think, put it that way. So going from there, and thank you, everybody.
Welcome. Thank you, Blythe. Next, we have the County of Riverside, V. Manuel Perez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On behalf of the County of Riverside and all my colleagues, I'm not sure if they're all on, but Kevin Jeffries representing the 1st District, Karen Spiegel representing the 2nd District, Chuck Washington representing the 3rd District, and Jeff Hewitt representing the 5th District, and I represent the 4th District, the largest geographic body of mass, which it includes all the beautiful cities between Palm Springs, other hot springs, and all the way down to Blythe. And obviously the County of Riverside being the 4th largest county in the state of California out of 58 counties, representing close to 2.5 million people and county and growing. And the one project I think right now that I'm most proud of, although there are many, is the arena. And the arena is going to definitely have a positive economic impact on all our communities within the Coachella Valley. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Supervisor. Well done. Appreciate all of your work on the arena. Next, we have the City of Rancho Mirage.
Thank you, Mayor. It's wonderful to be here this evening. With me is Mayor Charles Townsend, Mayor Pro Tem Richard Kite, Council Member Iris Smotrich, and Council Member Steve Downs. I have to defend the reputation of Isaiah Hagerman from the standpoint of city manager, since Dana went to extremes in building up his city manager. My size doesn't compare quite to Raymond's, Wyman's, I mean. His girth is a little larger than mine. Rancho Mirage prides itself on being an extremely fiscally responsible city. And we have great anticipation for the new Disney Catino project that will be coming on stream in the coming year. It will be transformative, not only for Rancho Mirage, but for the entire Coachella Valley. So again, thank you. Wonderful to be here. Thank you, Mayor.
Have you, Council Member. Next, we have the City of Desert Hot Springs.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Christie Holstage. Gary Gardner, Mayor Pro Tem for the City of Desert Hot Springs. We like to call ourselves the cool city because we're usually 4 or 5 degrees cooler than the rest of you because we're a little bit higher up in the far northwest corner of the valley, bordered by the Sand to Snow National Monument and Joshua Tree National Park, and home to the only access trail into Joshua Tree National Park from the Coachella Valley. We are the first city to allow cannabis cultivation, and we continue to lead the way in that industry. And we have many, many healing mineral water spas here in our little city. And we're soon to be home of what the Desert Sun calls the Pentagon of the West Coast. So with me here today is Mayor Scott Mattis, who I am filling in for because he doesn't have a great connection on his device to be able to participate all that well. I also have Council Member Jan Pai and our City Manager Luke Rainey.
Welcome. Thank you. Next, we have the City of Coachella.
Thank you, Chairwoman Holstage. Well, with me today is our Mayor Pro Tem, Josie Gonzalez, our Council Members, Megan Beeman Jacinto, Denise Delgado, as well as Neftali Galarza, and our City Manager, Dr. Gabriel Martin. The City of Coachella, well, you know, we do a little bit of everything. And in particular, we lead the valley in about a $600 million agriculture industry. We're pretty excited about that and the way it's flourishing. And Coachella is also known for the people that come out of it. It is said that if you can serve in Coachella, you're on the way to the state or, you know, maybe even the federal government or the county supervisor. So a lot of good people that come out of the City of Coachella.
Thank you, Mayor and Vice Chair, soon to be Chair. Last but not least, we have the City of Palm Springs. So I see Mayor Lisa Middleton on. Mayor, if you'd like to introduce our team.
All right. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with all of you. It's a pleasure for those of us in Palm Springs to work with such incredible colleagues in cities across the Coachella Valley and out to Blythe. We thank you for all the work you're doing for your communities and really enjoy the opportunity to work with you on regional issues. I am joined by our esteemed chair, Christy Holstage, and by Council Member Dennis Woods. And Palm Springs, as you know, is the home to all of the best restaurants in the Coachella Valley. If you're having trouble getting a reservation, please call Christy or I. We will try to fit you in to one of our restaurants. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to make sure we call on 29 Palms Band of Mission Indians. If anyone is there, we want to make sure you have an opportunity to do an introduction. Seeing none, we'll do that later. So next, we have the Pledge of Allegiance and the National Anthem.
Missing Cathedral City.
Did I skip Cathedral City? I'm so sorry, Mayor Gutierrez. I apologize. I glanced over it on my list. So many members.
You saved the best for last.
We saved the best for last. Please, Mayor, introduce yourself and your team.
Thank you. I'm Mayor Ernesto Gutierrez from the beautiful city of Cathedral City, where art lives. And joining me this evening is Mayor Pro Tem Rita Lamb and also Councilmember Raymond Gregory, along with our best city manager, or the best city manager, Charlie McClinton. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I apologize. We just visited your dinosaur exhibit yesterday, last night. So you have so much to offer, and I apologize for my oversight.
No problem.
So
thank you.
Now we have the Pledge of Allegiance and the National Anthem. So first I will call on Mayor Stephen Hernandez to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And then after that, we will be followed by the National Anthem. And of course, part of these events in General Assembly is to give local flair for each city or jurisdiction or tribe that is hosting. So tonight we are so proud to have Palm Springs' own Barry Minifield, a singing chef who shot to fame during season 8 of NBC's The Voice. So we're incredibly proud to have him joining us and to be able to sing the national anthem and represent Palm Springs and the Coachella Valley and CVAC. So Mayor, if you could start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes, if you could all stand with me as we pledge allegiance to our beautiful nation's flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. If you can remain standing, and welcome Barry.
Oh, say can you see, by the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Beautiful. Thank you, Barry. We very much appreciate you joining us and for that beautiful rendition. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we have public comments. So we will see if there are any public comments on agenda items, and we will ask members of the public to limit their comments to 3 minutes. Members of the public may raise their hands to provide public comment. So you can do that by the Zoom feature or *9 if you're by telephone. So Jennifer, do we have any public comments at this time, either that were provided in writing ahead of the meeting or any hands raised by members of the public?
Chair, we did not receive any written comments, and I do not see any hands raised at this time.
Thank you. Seeing no public comment and noting for the record that we will have another public comment session at the end of the agenda, so we can catch any members of the public there as well. Next, we have chair and executive director comments. So I'll go first. It's been an honor to represent the city of Palm Springs and serve in the role of CVAG chair. Thank you to my elected officials, my colleagues, for your dedication to working together as a region to address really hard issues that we face, like transportation, energy, sustainability, and homelessness. And we are getting real results on those issues. I'm incredibly proud of the progress we've made, especially over the last year, to bring our homelessness program in-house and to show real results to keeping people off the streets. And then, of course, all of the progress that we've made on CV Link and so many of our other joint projects. So we had hoped to welcome you to an in-person event, but I appreciate how engaged we've remained, even on Zoom and in a virtual environment. So this summer, as Tom noted, we will be reaching out to you all to get your feedback on how we should hold our meetings in the future. And so now I'll turn it over to Tom to provide highlights from this year.
Thank you, Chair. And we'll actually start by acknowledging our sponsors. Doesn't take a whole lot of money, but it certainly takes a lot of work to put on an event like this. And our sponsors do help out. And I want to acknowledge two in particular. IREN, which you all will hear more about, is a regional effort that is funded by the Public Utilities Commission. And we're partnering with our friends in Western Riverside County and San Bernardino. And each of the cities and tribes and county are going to hear more about this over the next 5 years. Next, Spectrum. They approached us and said, can we sponsor? We said, sure, come on board. Thank you, Spectrum. And next, a number of other partners that are with us throughout the really many years at CBAG, in most cases, Southern California Gas, Terra Verde Energy, Calpine Energy, Southern California Edison, Ames Construction, Answer, BB&K, Berkrix Communications, Renova, and the Energy Authority. Thank you all. Moving on to kind of what we have accomplished this past year, and it's a long list. I'm going to do a short presentation. Let's start the slides. On the transportation front, of course, I can't help but talk about CV Link. It's been a big year at CV Link in Palm Desert. There was construction and completion of much of the Palm Desert section. You see your chair and the Palm Desert City Council there, the good work they've done on San Pablo and connections to CV Link. Please use the Palm Desert section to travel to places like Bump and Grind. Next. We've done a lot of work between Indio and La Quinta, where, of course, we're building a bridge. And the bridge is almost nearly constructed, and a lot of work is going on today with respect to undercrossings. And I'll tell you, there are about 70 cement trucks. Mayor Furman, remember when we went out there and checked that out? Trucks are coming in and out every day to pour a beautiful slab of concrete that could be here much longer than all of us. In Palm Springs, we just started construction on another section of CV Link in the Tockwoods Creek. There you see the mayor. Please continue. We celebrated that with the city council as well as Desert Healthcare District, who is a big funder of CV Link. And three mayors, thank you all for joining me and particularly friends of CV Link in celebrating bike safety and reminding all of us, whether you're a biker or motorist, to do the right thing. And here, Supervisor Perez, you led an effort to grand open a important bridge in the Mecca area. This is Avenue 66. And Supervisor Perez put a different sort of celebration together, not a lot of speakers in jackets and coats, but really embraced the community and had them come out to the project. It's a huge project for the entire region, but particularly for the Mecca area. I know Mayor Mattis is driving along somewhere, and he may have spotty service, but this is a project that's near and dear to him and the entire community of Desert Hot Springs. Even though it's a three jurisdiction project, this is Indian Avenue, north of the freeway, all the way to Dillon Road. That intersection alone, I promise you, will save a life every year for the next coming years. That was a dangerous, dangerous place. Next. And in Cathedral City, not last, Cathedral City, where we started construction of CV Link. We also have supported the city's efforts to improve this bridge at Cathedral Canyon, and it's nearly 100% complete, just going through the punch list. As you all know, we're looking at other priorities, like trying to get some project that could be effectively and cost-effectively done in the western part of the Coachella Valley to address flooding and low sand conditions. And CV Sync, many of you know, we've been underway. And as the executive committee just heard, the first three corridors will be done by the end of the calendar year. Many of you have joined me and our team in looking and seeing what the installation involves. The construction phase of the first three corridors is largely done. Now it's technology phase for the next few months, and there'll be a lot more construction next year. On the energy and sustainability front, IREN, I just mentioned. You'll hear more about that in the coming months. And we continue to do other programs every year, help people with used oil recycling. Desert Community Energy, largely active in the city of Palm Springs, although Palm Desert is a partner as well. We made a lot of progress this year, and it's been a challenge for a couple years just to make the project and the program pencil out. Things are looking fantastic for Desert Community Energy. We've tied up some important energy sources, particularly windmills, in the city boundaries of Palm Springs. And Palm Springs continues to deliver 100% carbon-free electricity to almost all of its ratepayers. Mayor Evans and Mayor Hernandez, as chair and vice chair of CVCC, you know we've had great progress on the CVCC front as well. We actually bought our largest piece of dirt, 3,500 acres in the Goat Hills area, you might want to say. They're south of Highway 111, bordering Cathedral City and Palm Springs. And Mayor Pro Tem Gardner of Desert Hot Springs, you know these pictures. These are the before pictures of a lot of trash in the area of Desert Hot Springs, and the city boundaries are adjacent to it. And we worked with Mayor Pro Tem Gardner and Southern California Gas. Deborah, I think you might be on the line. Thank you for your support to clean up some desert areas, but also make it difficult for people to dump trash in the future. Don't let your cats out. Richard Kite, this is, of course, one of our wildlife cameras. You've seen these in use throughout some of our conservation area. And there are bobcats and many more little critters and bigger critters out there. We continue to maintain and manage important pieces of desert for now and eternity, hopefully, including this little desert tortoise. Next. CV Housing First, a project and program near and dear to your chair's heart and mind. And you've heard, of course, a lot about this over the last year and a half. January 1st of last calendar year, we started with a list of 200 chronically homeless people out on the street and said we want to get them off the street and find permanent housing. Over the course of 1 year, we took 75 people off the street, and all but one or two are still in permanent housing. This year, we started with a bang, and 15 more people are off the street, and we're continuing on this program to get a little sense of what we're doing. When you see this mobile access center, you'll know it's a part of your program. Every city in the Coachella Valley, in the county, in the Desert Healthcare District, are financially contributing to this program in a big way. And we're showing results. And this, in fact, is a client that was shown on KESQ, I believe it is. And this client had been out on the streets for a long time. And I believe it was Mayor Furman that called 911, because this gentleman was had a significant issue. And from being called in on a 911 call to having a permanent house is a great story. And we got to just really acknowledge our team and their help with Leonard, as well as those other 75 to 90 people at this stage. Lastly, I do want to acknowledge your leadership. Certainly it starts with the executive committee, but all of the committees at CVAG and our partners. And this is my opportunity to thank our staff, who are all listening and many of them working to make sure that this meeting, along with all of our meetings and programs and projects, run as smoothly as possible. They've done a phenomenal job this year. They've done a great job so far on this meeting. So I hope I didn't jinx it, but it's good to see all of you again. And I suspect that next year we'll be doing this in person. Again, I don't want to knock on wood on that one. Chair, that is the extent of my report.
Thank you, Tom. And I just want to echo your comments to CVAG staff. You are truly incredible. It's great to work with you all and on behalf of the entire CVAG General Assembly and Executive Committee. Thank you for your work over the past year. Next, we have the business portion of the agenda. So we have the consent calendar. We have one item, 6A, approve the June 28, 2021 General Assembly minutes. So can I have a motion? And I'll entertain a motion in a second on that.
Rancho Mirage, move to approve.
Second.
Thank you. I heard Rancho Mirage and then I heard Palm Desert seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Those opposed or any abstentions, please say no or note your abstention for the record by raising your hand. Seeing none, the motion passes unanimously. Next, we have our discussion and action items to consider tonight. And just to note, for all of you, these items have been vetted by the executive committee and the staff recommendation was supported at our meeting earlier today. So we will forego a staff presentation unless it's required and requested by a committee member. So first we have 7A, CVAG 2022-2023. Fiscal year budget. There's a staff recommendation to approve the resolution adopting our fiscal year annual budget, salary schedule, and allocated positions. Thank you. I hear a motion by Indian Wells and a second by Laquinta. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Those opposed, please say no. Any abstentions to note for the record? The motion passes unanimously. Next, we have item 7B, CVAG officer rotation for fiscal year 2022-2023. There's a staff recommendation to elect the representative from the city of Coachella to serve as our incoming chair for 2022-2023 and have the city of Desert Hot Springs representative to serve as vice chair. I'd entertain a motion.
Barbara, a second.
Thank you. I heard a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. Any abstentions to note for the record? Motion passes unanimously. So next we have the fun part of the meeting, the presentation and our special recognition. So Tom Kirk is going to start us off by introducing my mayor, Mayor Middleton.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And obviously, our chair could easily introduce the mayor, who she works very closely with, but I asked to do so in part to acknowledge not just Lisa Middleton's work, but a number of yours. And when Steve Downs, I see you're one of our newest council members. We don't count Rob as a new one, but when you become a council member in particular, or a tribal chair or a tribal member on a council, you don't realize all the other assignments that you end up with sometimes. And many of you end up on a number of other committees and boards, and some of you end up on committees and boards where your colleagues on those boards decide to make you president, as in President Jan Harnick of SCAG, or they make you chair, as in chair Manuel Perez of RCTC. So I know a lot of you become officers and take leadership positions elsewhere, and it's helpful. It's helpful to your community and certainly to the Coachella Valley. It's helpful to me and the work that our staff do here. That's a kind of a segue to acknowledge Mayor Middleton, who I can't remember another elected official who started and within just a few years seemed to be appointed or asked to sit on any and every important body. And I also can't remember, but somebody could correct me on it, I don't think we've ever had a representative sit on the CalPERS board of directors. And so by that introduction, I will turn it over to Mayor Middleton, who will introduce our very special guest tonight. Mayor.
Tom, thank you. And it's truly a pleasure to be with all of you. And I am greatly thrilled to be able to introduce the Chief Executive Officer of CalPERS, Marcy Frost, Marcy's been with CalPERS for 6 years. She came out of the Washington State system. We all know that in public service, there are a number of extremely challenging positions. I don't think there is a position in public service that is as demanding as the role and responsibility that Marcy has. CalPERS is the largest public pension fund in North America, I think perhaps the largest in the world, but there are over $450 billion under assets under management that CalPERS is responsible for. We are talked about in the financial press each and every day. Every month, CalPERS sends out over $2 billion in pension payments. There are over 2 million members receiving who are members, over 1.5 million for healthcare issues. And whether or not you are a full service city or a contract city, we are all as cities involved in CalPERS. Just some quick cost numbers. For every miscellaneous employee, for every dollar that you pay them, you're paying approximately another 30 cents in CalPERS pension costs. Another 30. For every firefighter, it's about another 50 cents over and above their salary. And for police officers, about 55 cents. That varies a little bit from city to city, but the cost implications are enormous. I'm not going to take up more time other than to say this about Marcy. What I see when I attend the meetings in Sacramento is some of the finest talent that you will see in public service anywhere. And most of those leadership positions that run the range from healthcare to investment policy to fiscal management are individuals that Marcy recruited and retains working for her because of the quality of her leadership. So with that, it's my honor to introduce Marcy Frost, CalPERS CEO.
Well, thank you, Lisa, and thank you, everyone, for inviting me to your General Assembly to give you a kind of the state of the state on CalPERS. And so where I thought I could begin the update, since our portfolio, the $450 billion portfolio that was $500 billion at the end of last year, I'm sure you all have been noticing the market volatility in your own investments, but I thought that would be a good place for us to begin, and we can really take this discussion wherever you would like and make sure we have some time for Q&A at the end as well. So the first announcement, and you may have seen this, but we've had some challenges in retaining the chief investment officer role at CalPERS. And I would say that's been a bit of a unique challenge for us relative to our other public pension systems around, not just here in the U.S., but really international systems. We've had, you know, a dozen CIOs over the course of 20, 25 years where many of those systems likely have 3 to 4 or less than that in that same time period. So we did go out very deliberately to hire what I call the big I in the CIO, and that's someone who's known in the industry as being an investor, someone who's been hands-in, running money, running large portfolios, but also equally important, I would say, running complex portfolios. CalPERS has a very complicated portfolio that it runs. It's not just large in size, but the complexity that goes along with it is quite significant. So we did, and Ms. Middleton was on that panel with me, and we ended up having to run this twice. The first panel or the first process was right in the middle of COVID. We were talking to candidates, many international candidates, some domestic candidates, and it was just a really difficult time for people to relocate their families, as well as our board was still making some decisions around long-term incentive for the chief investment officer position itself. We were also talking about whether the CIO would be able to have any personal financial holdings. And so those were some pretty significant questions as we were talking to candidates that really needed to be resolved and decided by the board before we could move forward. So we took a bit of a pause.
And our next round of candidates, I would say we really upped the experience that we were looking for. We were able to do a little more outreach, much more interest in, okay, so we're at the lagging end of COVID, the lagging end of a pandemic, and let me explore this and see if I might be a good fit for what CalPERS is looking for. So all that to say, Nicole Musico started with us back in March. I think tomorrow is her 90th day on the job, and she will be at our board's offsite here in just 2 weeks, giving her 90-day update. A little bit of a look back. She's been doing a listening session for the last 90 days, but really a strategy looking forward. And one of the pieces that she'll update the board on, and you may have seen some of this covered as well, but the board, one of the most important decisions that the board makes is how are we going to allocate this $450 billion across the various markets, whether those are public markets, whether those are private markets, what about fixed income? You hear a lot about private equity. And so the board last November did make its decision on the portfolio. And just a couple of highlights there. They did increase access to private or alternative assets or asset classes like private equity, a 5% allocation to private debt. They approved limits on leverage at the total fund level. That's not something we've done at the total fund. We've done it within, say, the private equity asset class itself, but really giving us the ability to be a bit more mobile, a little bit more flexible when we see those opportunities arise within our policy framework. So the team is now bringing back policies to implement that new asset allocation. And part of Nicole's 90-day update would be whether, you know, she would see any need to make any kinds of adjustments. And I can give you the preview to that. She's not really seeing any need to change the asset allocation. She believes that the asset allocation that was approved can be implemented, and then we'll bring the final policy pieces back to the board in September. And so that might be a meeting that you all could pay attention to as well. It might be of interest to you. I think the other piece that we've talked about in the past when I've been out speaking to our public employers is that I have been there now 6 years. And I would, you know, very honestly say, prior to that 6 years, we had some services that were provided to our public employers, our 3,000 public employers, but they really were not sufficient. We, you know, during asset liability management, the liabilities, when we don't hit that right now as a 6.8% return target, when we don't hit that number, that means effectively that our public employers are paying more, with rare exception where I believe there's been some collective bargaining where the employees pick up a share of that unfunded liability. But by far, the largest part of the freight is being picked up by our 3,000 public employers. And so just a, you know, a bit of a preview, we will be announcing the returns, the investment returns through June 30th. We're hoping to be able to do that at the board's offsite here in 2 weeks. It might take us a little bit longer to get those all audited and verified, but I, you know, I can give you pretty much a preview that that's going to be a negative number. And as you know, that causes a lot of concern. You know, we're coming back on a year where we had a 23% return. Now we might be in the negative, probably shouldn't say the number, but at least at this point, I don't believe it'll be double digits, but there will be a negative single number that we'll be reporting out. And so just not to surprise you too much, but the communication plan around it is we'll get a note out to our public employers before we do anything on a wider press release. So watch for that from our public affairs team. Lisa mentioned some of the key hires. So Nicole definitely has been a key hire, was able to hire Michael Cohen, who was the Department of Finance head for Governor Brown's administration. We've been able to hire Don Molds. Don Molds is running our health team. And then our most recent hire, who I'm quite pleased to have join the team, who just started today, is John Myers, who will head up our public affairs team. And John is coming out of running the Sacramento Bureau of the Los Angeles Times, so certainly has a lot of relevant background and experience. And I think what was interesting to him in the CalPERS role was to be able to have more of this global impact that, you know, California being the fifth largest economy, we have significant investments in California and more coming. We've done a lot in renewables also in California, so that's probably good news for the people on this call because those renewables tend to be more in your region. 20% of our real assets portfolio is now renewable energy. And so John, I think that was what was interesting to him about moving from purely a journalist role into more of this public affairs, media relations. How do we communicate these major policy decisions that CalPERS board or CalPERS team is making in a way that people can understand them? So very pleased to get John on board starting today. Let's see. So healthcare premiums, you know, the other thing we do, and some of you I know are in our healthcare program, but we are the largest public health purchaser just behind the federal government. And we'll be ready to announce those rates. We announced preliminary rates in our June meetings. The final rates will be done by the board in July. And what you're seeing is the HMO medical inflation is continuing to rise, probably not a surprise. I think we've negotiated the very best that we can get out of our health plans there. We have some work to do on our PPO structure, and the team will be working over the next year to try and bring in some, you know, we have reference pricing in there. There are some things that we believe that we can do to bring down that premium. And the reason, you know, really that we need to focus on this so much is that in many of our rural areas, or you know, California state employees who are working outside of the state of California, their only option is the PPO, and those rates are going up more than we're comfortable with. But that will also be decided in July. And then I think, you know, I always like to do a little bit of myth busting when I'm out talking to people. And, you know, I think one of the things that I hear when I'm out talking to stakeholders, talking to members, is around transparency. And, you know, shouldn't CalPERS be more transparent about what it's doing and how it's doing? And so we believe that other than investment strategy, right, which could impair our ability to either implement the strategy or to implement it in a cost-effective way, i.e., if we say we need more private equity, likely the GPs are going to say, well, that's going to cost you more because you need us more than we need you. So with rare exception, investment strategy needs to be enclosed. And then the other part would be anything that's related to personnel. So one of the things that we did is there is a benchmarking service that measures the transparency of all the public pension plans around the world. And the second year update just came out where the number one transparent pension organization in the United States, and we're number two worldwide. And we'll be bringing that to the board in September, along with our cost effectiveness measurements that are done on the investment portfolio, as well as done on our administrative fees also. So maybe I can pause there, Lisa, and just see if that covered kind of a framework and maybe generate some questions that I'd be happy to answer, or anything else you think I should cover.
I think that's a great start. Are there any questions that anyone has for Marcy? Ted, Mayor Weil.
Yes. Marcy, thank you. Ted Weil from Rancho Mirage. I was pleased to hear that you've increased your percentage in private equity. Because with the Fed increasing the interest rate now, I think that it's going to be more difficult to get conventional financing on a number of projects, which means that it will open up the opportunities for CalPERS more than they have in the past. So I think private equity is going to be the opportunity for CalPERS to get the yield that's necessary as far as your projections are concerned. So thanks very much. I'm delighted to hear that.
Yeah. And you're right. So, you know, one of the things that we learned through the, you know, the global financial crisis was, you know, liquidity is extremely important. And I will tell you, our entire fund is in an excellent liquidity position where Nicole and the team can take. We don't do a lot of tactical allocation or tactical decisions, but we do find opportunities a lot in private equity. And we've repaired the relationships. So we haven't always had the best relationships with the GPs in private equity. And that was something that Greg Ruiz, we hired him out of a private equity company. And he and his team have just built those relationships probably to the strongest they've been. So not only do we have liquidity to fund the private equity side when they come around to do their fundraising, but now we also have that 5% allocation to private credit or private debt. So we've got both sides of the debt structure covered with opportunities for CalPERS to be in that lending position.
Ted, thank you for bringing that question up. If you look back over the last 15, 20 years, one of, without trying to be too critical of predecessors, one of the biggest mistakes that we made was CalPERS in the first part of this century got in very heavily into private equity and then abandoned the market. And now we're getting back into it. Had we sustained the investment over time, we would have produced results significantly higher than what we've been able to produce. We get criticized for an awful lot of different decisions. That one is rarely brought up, and I don't think there is any that had more significance from a financial standpoint.
No, I agree. Thanks so much.
Other questions? Let me just add from a standpoint of putting a portfolio together. The effort is to produce a 6.8% return over time. And the market, as any of us who have any investments know, goes up and goes down in the course of a calendar year. It's what are we producing over the course of 5, 10, and 20 years? The joke, and it is a joke, we could put absolutely everything into the riskiest investment possible. That would be dumb. We could put all of it in at one time, an overwhelming amount of our investment portfolio was in fixed income. When T-bills were available for 10, 11, 12, 13%, and your investment target at that time was 8%, it didn't take a genius to go out and buy that T-bill. But if you're trying to produce a 6-7% rate of return and T-bills are producing less than 1%, you're going to have to be in the much broader equities market and be good at it. And one of the hardest decisions that comes before the board is what's the appropriate mix of risk to produce the kind of portfolio that will result in sustained achievement of the financial goal. Last number I'll throw at you. For every 0.25% of loss in that rate of return, employer costs increase by approximately 10%. So when we dropped from 7 to 6.8, which we had to be prudent, that created an increase in cost.
You know, I think, Lisa, the last item that I would proactively update you on, and obviously take questions on it as well, is we do get questions around ESG and our sustainable investments for the portfolio. And we've said pretty clearly that ESG has a letter missing, and that's the F in finance and the F in fiduciary responsibilities. So you probably saw there were some divestment bills going through the state legislature, passed out of the Senate, the divestment from Russia, divestment and Belarus, and then the divestment from fossil fuels, or no new investments into fossil fuel companies. And the assembly, PERS assembly chair, Chair Cooper, who's now the Sacramento County Sheriff, fundamentally agrees with the board that the legislature should not be telling us how to invest. And that's really, you know, it wasn't a policy debate for him, other than he does not support divestment bills. He believes that the board and the teams at CalPERS and CalSTRS need to decide how to get that 6.8% return for us. I think CalSTRS is just still at 7%. And so that obviously got some social media activity with Fossil Free California, you know, coming, you know, at us, coming at him. But, you know, we believe that engaging, you know, we obviously can't engage with the country of Russia, but we do believe that our engagement strategies work. We've made a commitment to be net zero by 2050. I was just on a call late last week where I was interviewing the CEO of BP and Bernard Looney talking about what they've also made this commitment, talking about transition, and it has to be a just transition that brings people along. But CalPERS always has to manage that. Every unit of risk needs to give us a significant return. And right now, even if we, you know, the board decided they wanted us to divest, which they have taken opposed positions on divestment bills for the last 6 years, you know, now would not be the time to exit. On Russia itself, there are companies that are a part of our passive strategy that we're evaluating whether we take them out. These are companies that might provide goods into Russia. But as far as any ownership of actual Russian companies or assets in our fixed income, or excuse me, they have no fixed income exposure, assets in our private equity or assets in our real estate portfolio, we've been marking those down. All of the public assets have been marked to zero. We owned a mall in Russia, a high-end mall, and we've marked that down to 50% of value, and the team's getting ready to mark that down again. So, you know, we're managing these things. The team doesn't really need to be told what to do. We just need to be, I think we have opportunities to communicate more effectively and more broadly about it. And that's a challenge. And that's the first challenge that I've given Mr. Myers.
Marcy, thank you very much. I think we're going to move on, although Richard Kai, were you trying to get a word in there?
Just a brief question.
All right.
On CalPERS' position in Bitcoin these days.
So you've seen what's been happening, you know, crypto probably different than actual Bitcoins, but you've seen the volatility that's happening there. That kind of volatility is, you know, not something that CalPERS has embraced. We don't see it as being a diversifier in the portfolio. You see it's really following kind of the global equity markets. But we do have some indirect exposure. For example, Tesla has accepted Bitcoin to purchase automobiles. So we have some indirect, but we don't have any direct exposure. And I think the most recent volatility and markdowns demonstrate why we chose not to go that route.
Thank you.
And Marcy and Mayor Middleton, thank you. I don't think a lot of us appreciate what goes on at your committee meetings. Short-term rentals seem like an easy thing to deal with, but you're dealing with Russia, global warming, Bitcoin, but we're all dealing with the legislature, you know, meddling in what we want to do. So maybe there is some commonality there. Thank you again, Mayor Middleton. I'm sure you are available in the future to take questions or input from your colleagues from the Coachella Valley and Riverside County at large. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, on to the more lighthearted part of what we do. I promise we'll get you out of here certainly by 7:30. We're going to play a little game. And for those of you that have participated in general assemblies before, you know, the last couple years we've played some games. And last year, we played a name that city and find the chair. And here you see Glenn Miller jumping up and down somewhere. I guess it was in one of the festivals. And for those winners were actually Councilmember John Pena of La Quinta and in second place, Mayor Jan Harnick. And for those winners, we sent them this massive bottle of very high quality Prosecco. It's huge. I know you can see that on the screen. Yes, I see you, Linda Evans, nodding. We'll take requests next.
Thanks for supporting Costco's sales tax in La Quinta.
or perhaps another city. Last year, we had a different sort of game, and as a mix of things. And there were, and one was a scavenger hunt, and one was a roll call, and one was decorate your cantaloupes. The roll call, both best and maybe, I got a lot of complaints that it really shouldn't happen again. We had the entire Desert Hot Springs Council in robes, and there were a lot of requests not to have them do that again. But they did get an award. Next, repurposing. Mayor Pro Tem Rita Lamb. Next, hedging bets, because she gave us two or three examples on every question. Linda Evans. Next, special guest, Mayor Stephen Hernandez played the toddler card Next, teamwork. We had Mayor Dale Reynolds and our own council member Joey DeKunik working together on a Zoom call. Hair envy. Oh, remember those masks that we were wearing too. With Savvy Jonathan of Palm Desert. Self-portrait. He said that. I didn't say that. Glenn Miller, you win award for best self-portrait. And lastly, our chairman at the time, Gruby, gave Wayman Furman an award for this. And I think Wayman was, I think, Mayor, you were trying to make a political statement, but the chairman really liked it because it looked like a Raiders motif of some sort.
Hey, Tom, but I got a different bottle. I don't know what bottle that was. This is the bottle I got.
Oh, you're going to get me in trouble. Don't do that to me. Next slide. So the question is, who will win in 2022? And I was inspired this year. And I was inspired. I was watching our homeless committee meeting via Zoom. And that's a meeting I get to watch everybody. Why don't you stop that for a second and back up? And while watching it, our chair, of course, is the chair of the homeless committee. I don't know if we could restart that. And she brought her little one, Aiden, to the meeting. And it's hard for you to hear, but go ahead.
Well, look at him, my guy, can't get over that. He is beautiful. Thank you. Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Hi, Bella, what's your name?
It's Aiden.
Hi, Aiden.
So I was inspired by our chair, and we created a little game that we call Guess Who, Executive Committee Baby Edition. And you all received a game card in your bag of tricks, along with a cantaloupe and a few other items from our sponsors. I want you to pull that out. Go get yourself a pen or a pencil. And we're going to play the game. And so you see on one side are numbers with blanks, and the other side of the executive committee members. In a trial run, it's going to be hard for you to write out everybody's name. They're going to want to cross it off. I'll bet you want to change your guesses three or four times. What I would do is just put a number. If you think the first photo I show you is Dana Reed, put number one next to Dana Reed. And we're going to go through this, and then I'll give you the answer key. And the winner gets to take that bottle of booze from Wayman Furman. He's going to provide that. He's going to donate that to the cause. Thank you, Mayor. So ready to roll, and we'll start. And we're going to start slowly because it's complicated at first. But by the end of this, you shouldn't have very many blanks, and we'll speed it up. So first, baby. Oh, my. And by the way, I see most of you have your microphone off. It's probably wise. Don't blurt out the answer. I'm looking at you, Mayor Evans. But that is not a hint. Don't fall for my trickery. So you're going to put the number of this baby next to the member of the executive committee. All right, let's move on. Number two. Oh, what a cutie. This guy looks somewhat familiar. I'm watching all of you. See, if you're almost done. Number three. Oh, my. Look at those trousers. Stylish. If I remember correctly, we heard this was this young man at 9 months old. He was a big baby, really big baby. And Mayor Furman, it's not you. I'm just going to let everybody know this is not Mayor Wayman Furman. I know that was because I gave the hint about a big baby. It was not him. Four. Oh, cute indeed. That face looks familiar. Number five. I don't know. I wouldn't characterize this as a baby photo, but this guy looks like he's going to be a troublemaker to me. But I don't want to point fingers anywhere. I am looking at you on my screen, but he looks like a troublemaker. Next. Oh, cute little boy. I am maybe giving some hints on pronouns, et cetera, et cetera. Seven. This one I couldn't figure out, but once you see him today, you'll piece it together just like I did. He's ready to move. Number eight. Oh, this little guy, just gosh. Look at that nursery behind him. Oh, wonder what he looks like today. Next. Number nine. Couldn't figure this one out when I first saw him. That probably was truly a Polaroid. Most of these we converted to become Polaroids. It looks like a Polaroid to me. Some of you are too young to know what Polaroid is. I'll explain it later. 10. Oh, this guy is serious. Ah. Boy, look at that look. Number 11. Oh, this might be, a suggestion to all of you. When we ask you for a baby picture, you better give it to us. Otherwise, this could happen to you too. Yeah, he's really enjoying that playground. Somewhere to the west of us. Number 12. My hint here is when I saw that kind of jacket, kind of blanky look, I just thought to myself, that guy dressed well then, and he's a dapper guy. Makes me look very second rate, and probably the rest of us too. Next. Oh, this one should be easy. This one should be easy. No, this is not, again, Mayor Wayman Furman. This is not Mayor Furman. Nor is it you, Dana Reed. Look at those golden locks. Next. We got this one over the weekend, and I'm glad that we did. She looks like she's either really happy about seeing some baby food or really happy to be crawling towards the dog's food and eating it off the floor. She's just ready to go. Not sure which it is. Next. Oh, this young man is at Disneyland. Oh, he looks like he's having a great time there. Next. And I've got to admit, this is my favorite image. I know you guys were all really amazing babies, beautiful, but I like this image the best. Maybe I've used the term before on others, but this one, he really is adorable. 17. Here, if that smile doesn't remind you of who this person is, not sure what would. And I note he looks like he was maybe even dressed for the 4th of July coming up. It was red, white, and blue. Two more. Next. Now my hint here, and I don't know if I would even get it myself, but the twinkle in her eyes is the same twinkle we see in her eyes today. And lastly, geez, I don't know if you'll get this, but he really seemed to enjoy the petting zoo. So I'll give you a minute. We're going to go through this and we're going to do some self-scoring. If you want to turn your microphone off, you can, and make some commentary. But as you know, with 50 elected officials on, it could get a little chaotic, but we could accept that. All right, is everybody ready for the reveal? Supervisor Perez, you ready for this?
Sure.
All right, let's do it. Number one, who might this be? Oh, our tribal member at large from the Cabazon band, Brenda Solier. Number one, two. Who is this? You can yell it out.
Who could it be?
Indeed. 6'2". Oh, come on. What kind of shoes are you wearing, Wayman? I tower over you. Come on. Hey,
all football players tell stories.
Next. Oh, come on. Who is this? This one's easy.
Dana.
Dana. That's right. Dana, just 9 months old. Next. Any guesses? Reveal. Linda Evans. Cute. Next. All right, again, I see just troublemaker here. Guesses? Look at that. Almost a spitting image. Next, Ernesto. Six.
Hernandez.
Who's that?
Hernandez.
Hernandez.
Mayor
Hernandez.
Oh, you guys got it. And again, the last one was Mayor Ernesto Gutierrez. This, of course, is our chair now, Stephen Hernandez. Wow.
My husband got that one right. That's crazy.
Is that right?
That one was easy.
By the way, we will provide all these images to anybody who pays us enough money. You could use them in whatever you need to use, however you need to use them. Next. Seven. Any guesses?
Scott.
Good guess, but wrong.
Joey.
Joey DeKunick. Next. I know this was hard. I know this is hard. 29 Palms Chair, Daryl Mike. Next. Any guesses?
Morales.
You got it.
Joseph, I got it right too. Yay!
So cute.
Congratulations on getting your second one right, Mayor Evans. That was really good. Next. Number 10. Who was so serious as a kid?
Milanovic.
Milanovic.
Full on Reed.
You know, Reed is still serious. The guy's intense. Eyes. Chairman. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Look, piercing eyes. Still have them. Number 11. Oh, my. Supervisor Kevin Jeffries. I'm going to get in trouble for that one.
Yeah, my, how he's grown.
Number 12.
It's got to be Manny. That's got to be Manny.
Uh-huh. Supervisor.
Yeah. Manny. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Emmanuel.
Always well dressed. Next.
When he started outdressing all of us.
13.
But no hat.
Who is it? You don't
Christy.
Know.
Christy.
Kathleen.
Yeah, come on. Christy, indeed. Our chair. Beautiful. Then and now. Next. 14. Who is looking for that food or dog?
Supervisor Spiegel.
Nice. Supervisor Spiegel.
Supervisor.
Who, by the way, did an incredible job at her other General Assembly on Thursday. Where she moderated a very challenging speaker, I would say. So congratulations, Supervisor, for doing that and for your tenure there. Next. Gosh, who could this possibly be? Supervisor Chuck Washington.
The Chuckster.
Yep. Next. Oh, my favorite photo.
Ted.
Adorable.
Ted.
Ted.
Oh, it's baby Ted. Ted.
Ted. Oh, my competitive dress. Or...
That one's fantastic, Ted. Next. Again, that was a smile that seemed obvious to me, but anybody else?
Scott.
Scott Mattis. Look at that. Scott, if you could hear us, people appreciate the photo. Next, again, in my mind, these eyes have always sparkled whenever I've seen them. Anybody else?
Dan.
Jan's not here.
Nope, she's
Kathleen.
Not here.
That's Kathleen.
I meant Palm Desert.
Yes.
Descendant of Dick Kelly, if I ever saw one.
It is. Council member Kathleen Kelly. And lastly, and again, I'm going to get in trouble for these photos, I'm sure. Supervisor Jeff Hewitt, having a great time petting those animals. All right. So I'm going to figure out, let's turn off the thing, and we're going to figure out who won by starting modestly. How many of you, so what I'm going to do is if I'm going to say, how many of you guessed
14? I got 14 right.
You did not. You did not get 14.
I also got 14.
From your husband, with help from your husband, that doesn't count.
That's right.
Team effort, you know. Come on, Gary.
You know I'm a part
of all by myself.
How many did you get, Captain Kelly?
So did I. 14, all alone.
Oh, I'm shocked that we get that. We had 14. So
I got 14 as well.
Anybody get 15?
It'd be hard to get an odd number. Because usually.
Well, it would be hard. I appreciate your math skills. But I know our elected officials, they might put one person down two or three times. So
Where is Tom's baby picture?
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, we need a
tiebreaker. I'm sure you're naked in
it. Yeah, that's the tiebreaker.
I'm naked much more often these days than I was back then, particularly in public. I mean, come on. So we thought about a tiebreaker, but we're just going to give you all a big award. So it was Linda Evans, Gary Gardner, Kathleen Kelly, you got 14. And did Joseph, you get 14?
And I did too.
Oh, Stephen, you got 14.
No, I didn't get 14. I will be honest with you. I was just grazing Linda for having help from her husband, so she really only got 13. That was the point I was making. I came in.
He doesn't even know you guys picked the right ones.
So, you know, I admit that.
Tom, I didn't get any. I couldn't even recognize myself.
Dana, I've got a little secret that sometimes happens, particularly to men as they age. Yeah. You are Dana Reed. Just in case, I'm just letting you know right now. All right. Thanks for having a little bit of fun with us. And it gives me a chance to make light of all of you in many ways. But you, of course, are my bosses. I appreciate you. And you do great work on behalf of your communities and the Coachella Valley. And I want to particularly acknowledge our chair. So if we could put a slide up. Or outgoing chair, I should say. And you all know that addressing homelessness is something that our chair is passionate about, among many other things. And we have this mobile access center that we partner with a lot of providers in the Coachella Valley to operate and run and reach homelessness people in the fields and on desert land and in your cities. And we partnered with Inland County Legal Services to help them with the basics of having an identification. You wouldn't believe how many chronically homeless don't have a ID card of any sort, have lost it. And that's a big deal. You can't get permanent housing if you don't have permanent ID. So that's one of the many things they do. We have a little mobile access, call it office that we're setting up in this unit, and we'll have clinics in the field helping them with their paperwork. And we're going to essentially dedicate that in Christy Gilbert Holstage's name, and that's appropriate. And Christy, I know you've seen us give maps out before. If you have a, let's call it a different office in 9 months, and you want a map from CVAG, we'd be happy to generate one for you. In the meantime, we're going to acknowledge your work as Executive Committee Chair and homelessness for the past couple of years, and doing that all while having a few other responsibilities, and your most important responsibility, taking care of Aiden. So a big round of applause. And let's turn it back to Christy.
Thank you. That's incredibly meaningful, and more that I got from the city of Palm Springs for being mayor. So I appreciate it. Thank you. Legal aid. And I'll just say I came to this valley to do legal aid, and it makes such an impact on people's outcomes and lives. So really humbled. Thank you. And I'm looking forward to working with incoming chair Stephen Hernandez, mayor for the city of Coachella. So thank you to you all. It's been such an honor to serve with you, and looking forward to continuing our partnership. So incoming chair, Stephen Hernandez, if you'd like to take it away and chair the remainder of the meeting.
Yes, thank you, outgoing chair Holstage, and thank you to the General Assembly. You know, we are honored at the city of Coachella to be this year's fiscal 2022-2023 chair. First, I want to echo Tom's comments and express my appreciation to Chair Christy Holstage and the City of Palm Springs for the work they have done over this last year. Chair Holstage has she's done a stellar job at keeping our meetings productive and efficient, and I will do my best in following her footsteps. And we want to also congratulate her for her recent victory, and we look forward to the work that she will do, hopefully, in the next 9 months. I remember that at this point last year, there was so much uncertainty about where and how the world was changing. Everyone here played a role in helping our region come out of this pandemic, and in the year ahead, we'll continue in that spirit of cooperation and collaboration to make sure we can rebound strong and stronger than before. You know, part of my leadership style is to throw out some big, hairy, audacious goals that I think as a region we can tackle together. And in talking to various leaders of the Coachella Valley, I think there are two issues that I want to just put forward to the whole executive committee. And if you would just bear with me to talk a little bit about this. One are the interchanges on the I-10. I know that the entrances to our cities is of great importance, particularly how they look, the beautification of those interchanges. That's a continuous theme that I hear from the tourism agency and in other regions about what they look like when they come into the Coachella Valley. I know that we have a friend in Sacramento, many of friends in Sacramento, and hopefully others that are on their way. And I think that's something that as a region that we can tackle together and try to see some beautifications on our interchanges. The other issue is one in which that's important to me, but I think it should be important to the region as well. And it's really to look at a tree canopy for the Coachella Valley, throw out this idea of maybe 10,000 trees for the next 10 years. Several reasons behind that. One is, you know, our tourists come here, they enjoy the palm trees, but during the summer months, it's a little warm, and there's not a lot of shade on our streets, and there's not a lot of shade in some of our tourist areas. And I think that that's something that we can tackle. Second, we're warming up. You know, we need to do more to really fight global warming. We need to do more to ensure that we can beat the island effect. And there are a lot of dollars out there for tree canopies and tree efforts. And there's a lot of cities and regions throughout California, as well as the United States, that are making aggressive pledges and coming together as regions to plant trees and native trees at that, to really transform their space and the environment. So we look forward to this upcoming year. We look forward to continuing the efforts of building out the CV link, the CV interconnect, moving forward on some of the Wi-Fi possibilities that we're exploring here at CVAG. We look forward to trying to get more transportation dollars and all the things that we already do, and to continue the great effort and work that has been occurring with respect to homelessness in our region. I think we're a model for the state of California and the nation on how we've been tackling homelessness. So we look forward to continuing and advancing that work. With that, I'll move forward on item number 9, which is public comments on non-agenda items. At this time and place, this is the time and place for members of the public to address the General Assembly. Are there any public speakers that would like to address the General Assembly?
We did not receive any public comments, and I do not see any hands raised.
Thank you. We'll move forward now on item number 10. This is announcements. Upcoming meeting, the next meeting of the Executive Committee will be held on Monday, September 26, 2022 at 4:30 via Zoom webinar. And the next meeting for the General Assembly will be held on Monday, June 26, 2023 at 6 p.m. via Zoom webinar. With that, thank you, everybody, for sharing your baby photos, all the Executive Committee. And thank you, everybody, who has joined us to be part of the General Assembly. We look forward to working with you throughout this upcoming year, and we are adjourned. Thank you so much.